LBW. Oh, he's got him. That's well run, or is it? Oh, a field, and that's out. That's got to be out. That's beautifully done.
What a great move. That's unbelievable. That is sensational.
Now, this will be interesting.
Short, fine legs.
Hey, welcome back to Short Fine Legs. You are in for a treat because this is part two of our chat with Proteas assistant coach Enoch Nkwe. You talk about a clear message to everyone, right, Enoch? And I want to talk about optics, right? Because journalists and fans, listening to you and Nons talk about processes and plans and visions, you know, it can kind of get a bit lost in the detail, and that's a shame, because as a fan or journalist, we just look at what we see and we make very shallow judgments. And I want to talk about the optics on the field, right? And I want to, we're jumping around a bit, but seeing as we are talking about a vision, how important is it now that Temba is ODI captain and T20 captain? Because I want to go back to when you were interim director, and then from the very shallow point of view, was that you were leapfrogged by a white guy. You know, you were the first locally produced black African coach, obviously, because Otis was coach. And not just any white guy, a white guy who, again, the very superficial, shallow view, was seen to be part of, like, the inner cabal I think people gave Mark Boucher way too much credit for how much he had his hands on the levers of power, as if he was some sort of, like, it was some sort of covert mission within South African cricket. I wonder how important the optics are now. How important is it that we've gone through Black Lives Matter, South African cricket is coming back? How important is this vision and this process? How important are the optics racially, in class terms, etc.? I think you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. No, I completely understand. Look, like I said, there was, we've gone through certain phases as a team, as South African, cricketing family or system that we needed to maybe experience and become a better system. I don't know, but we needed to in those little sort of phases we needed to go through it and actually re-look at in terms of where we are as a South African system, as a team, as individuals, and how can we actually become a better team and what is our purpose as well. Because those are some of the things we've spoken about as a team and what actually makes sense, what's so important, is it just about the winning, or is it about actually becoming, one and actually understanding the human element of who we are? Yes, we are professionals and all sorts of things, but do we tap enough into the human element as professionals, sports people? And maybe, the answer is no, we don't. We get caught up so much in the limelight and how, what we need to do and how do we need to win and all sorts of things. But at the end of the day, we're all human beings and we need to go back to that and initially understand each other to deeper levels, which we open up that platform at the culture camp, because it's something that after all this changes that has taken place, like you say, from me being an interim director to becoming an assistant coach and forming a bond, a relationship, with Mark and working out in terms of how we're gonna take South African cricket to new levels, all of that. But then there was so much happening behind the scenes, and then COVID hits, and then we get thrown off, and then there's Black Lives Matter. How do we deal with that? And then we realize that it was something that we already planned, back in December, sort of November, before COVID, before BLM and all sorts. And when all of that happened, it just gave us an opportunity again, because we were going to have the culture camp at the end of the season, but obviously COVID hit and then change of plans. But we needed to have it in August, well in advance before the season started. And that gave us an opportunity to be real about who we are. And I'm glad we actually had that camp, because from a human point of view, we started to realize that there's very little investment And we started to focus more into that. And what is it that has been holding back South African cricket in the past in ensuring that we win the World Cup? So we dominate in all three formats, and including the ICC, and how can we actually make the system even a lot better? How can we leave a better legacy? So we dealt with that. And yes, probably the public might cry that, you know, they're missing quite a lot of detail, but you know, we also need to be careful in terms of just threshing out everything. I think because we're working on a lot of things behind the scenes, us as a team as well, in the system. You know, we s slowly, you know, you'll start to see the reasons why we actually had the camp and why there's certain ways, you know, from a playing point of view, from a behaving point of view, from forming an identity. I know we've sort of got rid of the not sort of, but we've put aside the whole Protea thing because we're working on an identity that we as Africans can we can resonate, and we can actually, you know, develop into something more powerful and something that can help us also, you know, to deal with pressure situations, can help us be like the Springboks, you know, and win World Cups, because ultimately that's what we get judged on. The amount of World Cups we win. No matter what we say, we can win Test series, we can win ODI series or T20 series. Ultimately, the greatest teams, they win World Cups. And that's what we need to do. So, and that's something we've been working hard behind the scenes. And sometimes with everything that has happened, because we're investing so much in the human element, all right? Yes, there's one or two things that might give in for now, but the most important thing is once us as human beings in a team, we've made peace with everything, and we've actually taken ownership of, you know, of our system, of everything that we want to achieve. And then, I mean, there's no doubt that we'll not fall short in World Cups to come. I'm not saying this year, but it could be in 4 years' time, 5 years' time.
It's interesting enough that you say make peace with what has come before, and that could mean the broader socioeconomic history of our country that has created such an imbalance, which means that guys like yourself and Nons had to go to different schools, etc., etc. But I want to get kind of a bit granular with you, because I remember gathering with a whole bunch of journalists before the Port Elizabeth test, and you fronted up. You didn't front up to the media. You came and spoke to the journalists for the first time on the England series. Yeah, Nons is making like fronting up to a bouncer, and we asked you about ego, and I loved your answer, because you said that if you need ego in this game to be a coach, to be a player. But there's another kind of ego that if you possessed, you wouldn't be there. Because let's face it, you were in charge. Look, I you were given a hospital pass. Here you go, bud. Your first assignment is probably the toughest gig in the game. Go play a test series in India against Virat Kohli's Indian side with an inexperienced test. Let's see how well you do there. And I'm sure you'll be too modest to say that it was a hospital pass. I am saying it was a hospital pass, but you came back, and then the job is given to Mark Boucher, and you asked to be his deputy. And I want to talk about making peace with that, because if you had any ego, surely you would have thought, balls to this. I'm not taking this. This is a demotion. So have you made peace with the whole process? And if you have, could you maybe take us on that journey? Because I think a lot of South African cricket fans were angry on your behalf, and if and maybe you can kind of alleviate some of that anger now.
Wow. Yo, you're taking me back. I mean, we're 2021, but anyways, yeah, look.
I'll tell you why, because I think people are still angry. Especially when the stuff like Black Lives Matter came up in the last year, you know, until these wounds are fully healed. 2 years really isn't that long ago, so people are angry. But when we spoke to you and you spoke about the two different types of ego, I must say that dissipated a lot of the anger for me personally. So people listening now, I'm sure, would love to hear that.
Yeah, look, for me, first priority is South African cricket. You know, no matter what, because I've always had that mindset as a coach. You know, I made a decision when I became a coach. You know, what's what's going to be more important for me? Is it going to be about me, or is it going to be about the game actually growing to new levels? And yes, I mean, I was angry. I was hurt. And I openly even spoke to Mark about it, and Graham and everybody involved in terms of my disappointment. I was hurt, and yeah, I could have easily went back to Lions because I was still contrary to Lions, you know, and I could have easily went back to Lions and carried on with the Lions way and how do we grow the Lions way into new levels. But I started to realize quickly that, you know, I'm actually in a position that I can actually influence, in a position that I can help this, not only the Protea setup, but the system become better. And yes, I'm in an assistant coach position, but myself and Mark, we actually complement each other. He's very more technical, like Nonza said, I'm more from a strategic, from a identity and, you know, philosophy, the mental side and all that. So we complement each other well. Yes, we've had some challenges and, you know, at times like, you know, is this really working? But we needed to be, you know, consistent with what, you know, the work that we're putting in and the vision that we have in the future. And yeah, and you know what, if I had to put myself first, I would have gone back. And I would have gone back and focused on like I said, on the Lions project. But I it's not like to say that I just made a decision when I was told, or when I was offered the position, let me say that, because I was offered the position. I wasn't forced into any position. I was offered, and I was given a couple of days to think about it, if I wanted or not. And that was my decision to commit to it, because I just saw there was a bigger purpose. There was a big picture, and I needed to put my ego aside and think of where South African cricket is at and how can I contribute and to ensure that the South African cricket grows to new levels. And I understood, I knew exactly what has happened, obviously, prior to that, in terms of how we played it, the World Cup. We had a clear plan, a four-year plan going into 2023. And for me, it was so exciting that, I needed to put my ego aside, myself aside, and say, okay, what comes first? South African cricket. And I knew it was going to be hard work. The first year, the second year is not going to come easy. And another thing that actually motivated me was having read The Cubs Way, because, you know, with Theo Epstein, having to done a lot of studies about him and the amount of energy and the focus he invested in ensuring that the Cubs Way grows to become a powerhouse in the United States in baseball. It didn't take 1 or 2 years. It took him 3 years, you know, to almost get the right picture in place with the right people in place and actually win the World Series in his fifth year. So I started to look at it that way and say, well, it's easy for me to jump ship now and go, okay, well, you know, bugger everything and we'll see it in a couple of years' time. I just said, you know what, nothing comes easy. You know, I've worked hard to get to this point, but I really felt strongly that, you know, I want to be part of this sort of getting my hands dirty, because I've always enjoyed that. Get my hands dirty and then, you know, reap the rewards at the end of it, whether it's in 4 years' time, and hopefully I'll still be there, whether it's in 5 years' time or 3 years' time. So, yeah, so the big thing for me, I just needed to put my ego aside and focus on what's at hand and what's more important for me.
Were you conscious? You say that you have to put the ego aside, but I wonder, were you conscious of the groundswell of yeah, anger, of frustration? Yeah. And if you are conscious of that, what's it like to work under those conditions? I mean, it's one thing when, if you're an elite cricketer or elite coach, you sign up for the job and you accept that people are going to be scrutinizing your performance, and that people might go on social media and say, oh, so-and-so doesn't know how to play a straight ball, or some English spinner doesn't know how to, some English batsman can't play spin, whatever the case is, that's part of the job. But when people are angry on your behalf for something that is so much bigger than the sport, that is about the racial politics of the history of South Africa, you know, such a huge thing, how do you keep that laser focus that you need for the job?
Wow. I suppose we get trained, you know, from from playing, dealing with pressure. You know, how do you actually close off to the noises? How do you shut those noises and focus on what needs to be done, on, you know, what you need to, you know, in terms of what you need to perform. So it can be hard to explain, because at the end of the day, it's all about, you know, you gotta look at yourself as a person and say, what do you need to do different to ensure that, you know, this team moves forward, this team grows to be the greatest team in the world. And despite of the whole political situation, you know, how do we ensure that you're still invested in that? And I'm someone that is able to do that. I don't know if maybe it's a strength of mine that I've, you know, that I've had to sort of get, you know, become better at over my junior days into my senior days, the challenges that I've faced in my life, and having to grow my character stronger and stronger. You know, there's so many things that I think probably could have contributed to me just being in that moment and making that decision to say, okay, it's not about me. I suppose it's also the decision I made, because I really needed to look back as far back as from when I was a kid to, you know, with all those setbacks, all those transitions. And the big one for me was when I transitioned from playing into coaching, and the decision I made that it's never going to be about me from now on. Now,
because
I'm a coach.
Because that move was traumatic. You made the transition, because, and we haven't even gone into that. And I know you're just waiting for some questions, but
yeah,
we should say that you made the transition because you cut your hand on a piece of glass. And correct me if I'm wrong, you cut your wrist on a piece of glass that had broken as a result of a fight at a funeral. I mean, that's you know, there's a lot of layers there. That is quite a traumatic way to get to hang up the boots and get into coaching.
Yeah, look, that was heavy. I won't lie, that was emotionally, mentally, it was heavy. And you know, again, you know, a lot of people felt sorry for me, and you know, teammates, family, and they were really worried what's going to happen. And for me, I just sort of turned it around. I literally didn't sit on it and feel sorry for myself. You know, probably something that Nono knows, I've said it a couple of times, just never feel sorry for yourself. So I never felt sorry for myself and thought, oh no, if only. I just saw it literally as an opportunity now to really look at where I am as a person, as a cricketer. You know, where am I going? Because I just thought, at that point in time, you know, in terms of my cricket, I just felt I was going nowhere. I was just playing for the sake of playing. And maybe that was actually a blessing in disguise to actually step aside and say and ask myself some tough questions in terms of, what do I want in life? Is this direction that I'm going? Do I still have the burning desire to play for South Africa, or do I, you know, change direction and maybe go for something else? Do I go into the business world, or do I, you know, or do I go into coaching? I mean, coaching was actually the last thing I thought about, to be honest. And even through my therapy, I was so positive about it that I'm going to get it right, but I've made peace that I might not make it as a professional cricketer anymore. So I might need to go into a different space, which I didn't know then. But a lot of people were very supportive, and they really wanted me back into action and had dreams, you know, saw me playing for South Africa one day. And for me, that was it. I just knew it, because I could feel that, you know, my hand is not going to respond anymore under pressure. It's a nerve problem. And I don't know if my wrist will ever respond well, and you know, from a batting point of view, from a fielding point of view. So, yeah, I've had to literally, you know, deal with this with the deep layers of my emotional state and my mental, and having to survive that sort of traumatic, you know, incident or accident. I mean, I just don't know how I actually overcame that. But all I remember is that I just made a decision. I made a decision. I said, okay, this is it. This is what I'm gonna do. And there's a reason it happened, And the reason now is I needed to go into coaching space because that makes me happy. You know, I wasn't a happy person. You know, I just had too many things that were going against me as a cricketer back then. And when this coaching opportunity came, I just never looked back. I never looked back. I made a decision that it's not going to be about me anymore. I'm making peace with whatever has happened to me as a cricketer, from a political point of view, from an injury point of view, from a team point of view, opportunities, whatever. The things that I was not happy, extremely not happy about, that happened in the system against me. I'm going to, you know what? I'm a coach now. I'm going to make peace with that, put it aside, bury that. That's it. I'm done. Now it's about the future of South African cricket. And it's not going to be about me anymore. And it's what am I going to do now as a person to make it better? And that for me became a drive. I literally, when I struggle to sit around an environment that is completely negative, because, you know, there's, you know, Nono knows it. I mean, we've had some losses and it was tough. But for me, it's about every negative energy, you know, it's an opportunity to turn it into a positive energy. But yes, allow the space to dwell on the negatives, like give it like 10 to 20% of your time and start moving, shifting more into the 80, 90% space where, you know, you start to look at opportunities to thrive. So for me, any setbacks, any negative challenge is an opportunity to thrive. It's an opportunity to become a better team, to become a better person. And that's, for me, that's been, you know, that's been part of my philosophy.
I want to ask you about part of your journey, which I find really fascinating, being close to you, initial part of your coaching career, being part of the Strikers. I mean, you left the Strikers doing really well and you made a decision that you were going to leave the country and you went to Holland.
I know you were speaking about my time as Strikers, having to make a decision, and obviously at Lions. And look, for me, and I remember speaking to, I think it was Zia Desai, when I took the Strikers position, I signed the 3-year deal, and I made a decision then already that I'm only going to do it for 3 years, no matter what happens. So, yes, it is something I've learned a lot from football, from the likes of Pep Guardiola and obviously your successful managers. It's just that I just felt I'm young enough to take risks, to stretch myself, and I've got 3 years here to better the system. I've invested four seasons with Under-19 Academy, where I worked hard to put a system in place which I believed will be successful, be a good feeding system for the Strikers and the Lions in the future. So I've always had the vision in my mind that I see myself coaching the Lions one day, and what's going to be beneficial for Lions in 5 years time or in 10 years time, whenever I get the opportunity to coach the Lions. So I started investing a lot of energy at Under-19 level and academy. And literally, after what, 3 years of doing that, I just felt I just don't have the energies anymore. And one thing I don't want to do as a person, like I said, it was never about me. That's a decision I made, was to harm the system. So if you do something well and you get it to a certain level, you know, and you just don't have the energy now to lift it to another level, just make peace, move on to something else. You know, get somebody that will have the right type of energy to take it further. And for me, that was it. You know, when I moved from academy as a high performance coach from Under-19 Academy, my energies, my challenge was next to was take over the Strikers and create an identity that will speak to the entire pipeline, but also that will make the Strikers a strong force in South African cricket. And that was my biggest thing. So, and then I gave myself 3 years. So in those 3 years, for me, it's pressure. I needed to as a coach, to put myself under pressure. And on a seasonal basis or yearly basis, I needed to review and see where we're at as a team, where I am as a coach. How do I make the system better? What does the Lions need? What does South African cricket need? So, and that for me was so exciting. And I always say alongside, I'm watching the football, I'm watching the bus away. I'm working hard to understand how come their identity is so powerful? What has actually made them one of the best in the world consistently over a period of time? So, and so I knew that as a human being, I needed to keep empowering myself alongside that. But I had a responsibility, you know, to ensure that the system become better. So those 3 years I signed up for, and I said I need to achieve everything inside of those 3 years, and I did that. And thanks to obviously everybody that was involved and the backing from Gauteng Cricket, and I pushed myself every single time. I pushed myself. You know, I pushed the team. I mean, Nons will tell you how demanding I was in terms of, you know, the focus was not initially on the results, on the outcome. It was more on mastering the processes, and the guys understanding the professionalism, the identity that we're trying to create and become a better team, and a better not only team but the better province, a better organization. So those 3 years, when I did it, to be honest, after 3 years, I was exhausted. I just didn't have the strength, you know, to carry on with the Strikers. And before that, I mean, going into my last year behind the scenes, I tried to work with with the Lions, with the board, and I told them a year in advance. I said, guys, this is my last year. No matter what happens, this is my last year. I'm done. I'm looking for a new challenge. I'm looking for new energy. And I literally drafted my own job description in terms of which was aligned to the vision I had, but I knew that the franchise positions were not available for the next year or two. I made peace with that. I didn't have an issue with that, but I looked at, okay, how can I contribute positively to the system? All right. And when there was no opportunity, then I said, okay, well, you know what? There's no opportunity, but let me turn it around again. That mindset of when things are not happening, when there's a bit of a negativity, how do you turn that around into a positive? And for me, that was a big thing, is that, okay, I saw an opportunity to actually go outside of South Africa, because that's something I've always discussed with coaches around the country and said, guys, if we feel that, you know, we're unhappy in the system, you know, the world is huge. You know, why don't we tap into other environments? You know, why don't you challenge your philosophy as a coach in a new environment, whether moving from Joburg to Cape Town or moving from Joburg to Tanzania or to the neighboring countries like Zimbabwe, Zambia, or going to Europe, or go wherever and challenge yourself and see, you know, and see how your philosophy can actually work. Yes, you might need to change a few things, but I think as a person, it's important, especially in a coaching space, is important that you challenge yourself into different environments if you want to grow. You know, it's easy to, like Onono says, it's easy to just sit back and be comfortable and just tick the boxes. For me, I'm not about ticking the boxes. For me, it's about coming to the system, understand it. Does it fit your philosophy? If it does, you know, how can you make it better? And you keep investing in that. So, and that's what I did when there was no opportunity anymore. I thought, well, let me do something crazy. I've already established some good relationships overseas. Already made contact with my club overseas. And they said, come run cricket. You know, be a director of cricket. I said, well, yeah, well, why not? And when I got to Holland, met up with Anton Drew. He was a national coach then. And he said, listen, you know, we're looking for people like yourself at a national level. Would you be keen to get involved? And again, I just saw it as an opportunity to test my philosophy. It just gave me a new energy. And I said, you know what, this is exactly what I always wanted. You know, basically not walk away, but go test yourself in a completely different environment, a non-cricketing country, and let's see how your own philosophy works in such an interesting space. I could have gone to England and everything works out perfectly, but I needed to see in a tough, challenging environment in non-cricketing like country. How would I actually survive? How would I get that environment to become one of the best and actually qualify? Because when we sat down and he set out the vision for me, I bought into it immediately. It literally took me a couple of seconds and I said, I'm in. Because for me, that was exciting. And I knew that there's only 18 months. It was an 18-month project. We needed to get the Netherlands to qualify to regain their ODI status. And for me, that was very, very exciting. I always knew that I would come back to South Africa, though. And that was, for me, that was a big thing. And I needed to use it as an opportunity, not only from a coaching space, but as a coach to empower myself. So do more research into the best practices around the world. What can I study? What can I read? Because I wanted to come back to South Africa well empowered and be ready to take on a professional project. And there's no better project than obviously the Lions project when I came back.
Enoch, you use the word empowered there. And for me, that really stands out because Nons talks so highly of you. I'll embarrass Nons a little bit here, but he really does. He really does speak of how you have an ability to make people feel empowered, and I feel it now. Just you're so generous with your time. We're gonna have to split this podcast up into two because when you answer a question, you don't just give those usual platitudes that professional coaches and I mean that sincerely. I've spoken to lots of coaches and a lot of players around the world. And sometimes, I'll have to write 2,000 words from like 5 minutes of an interview because they just haven't given me anything. You've given us so much and you're so generous with your time. But I can also see how there's a fire there. There's a passion to challenge yourself, to go to the Netherlands. That when you cut your hand, to stay in cricket, when the easier thing would have gone to leave the sport, to come back and put that ego aside when the easier thing to do would have gone to the Lions. So having said all that, how are you going to empower yourself moving forward? How is that passion and that fire going to burn and drive you? Is the goal to be the full-time coach of the Proteas? What is the next 5-10 years like for you in ahead in the future?
Well, look, yeah, look, I mean, I would love to coach the Proteas or an international team one day. I'm very patient at the moment in terms of the processes. I'm enjoying what I'm doing at the moment. And in terms of where we're at as a system, working well with Mark Boucher and obviously the rest of the management team. We've just been for a strategic workshop. Trying to work out, ways in terms of how do we tackle the next season? How do we tackle the next 3 years, the next 2 years? And what can we do better in our positions to ensure that South African cricket keeps growing, not only with the team, but the system in itself? So nothing changes from my side in terms of how I've always done things in the past. I look at everything on a yearly basis. I can sign a 10-year contract. I can sign a five-year contract. That doesn't faze me. For me, the biggest investment is the next year. All right. What is the focus? The focus is T20 World Cup. And that's my focus. That's my investment. And then I'll reassess after that, see where I am. Do what's the next challenge for us as a team? Does it excite me? How do I make sure that I'm committed to that? How do I get myself... hopefully we win the World Cup and then we can challenge ourselves to another World Cup. And then by the time we get to the third one in 2023, the big one, that we've empowered ourselves so much in every aspect that we can actually go to India and dominate and win it. I mean, like Nons, he knows it. I'm a big believer in trebles, winning trebles. Okay. So there's an opportunity for us as a country to win a treble in the next 3 years. Why not? I know a lot of people will say it's impossible, but I don't believe in anything that is impossible. Everything is possible. If it doesn't happen now, there's always going to be another opportunity. So if an opportunity comes in the future to lead the South African team in 3 years' time, myself and Mark, obviously we've signed until 2023. And if the system still feels that... you know, if Mark decides to move on and I still have the energy to apply for a position and obviously lead the South African team to the next World Cup, then I'll do that. I mean, I'd love to see this country lift a World Cup and become a strong force in world cricket. You know, so like I said, I just take it a year at a time and see where my energies are at. You know, what's next for me? Because in a sporting world, a lot happens in the space of a year. You know, we could win the World Cup and plans could change and there could be other opportunities. You know, if there's an opportunity which is very attractive for me to coach elsewhere, I'll do that. As long as my heart, my soul is connected to that, feels that, and it makes a lot of sense to me, I'll do it. If everything is still here for me, then I'll do it. So for me, it's all about how do I keep myself motivated? How do I keep myself challenged? Because the moment I don't feel that, my energies will drop. Then I know that I'll harm the system, which is, it goes against my beliefs, my values. And that's the last thing I actually want, is to harm the system. Being in a position where you can actually influence the system well and make it better, but yeah, you sit in that position and you harm the system. And that, for me, I don't believe in that. And it's the worst thing that I could actually do. If I feel that I can't add any more value, then I'd rather sit at home and do research and maybe take a sabbatical like I did. You know, my plan initially moving from Lions, I mean from a Strikers, was literally a sabbatical for a couple of months. Relook at, you know, in terms of my journey, in terms of where I'm going, what I want to do. And fortunate enough, things fell into place, and which really excited me, and then I took the opportunity. So those are some of the things that go through my mind, is that, you know, while you invest in so much energy, you are going to burn out at some point. And when you burn out, are you happy? Are you happy with what you've done, what you've invested? And if you are, there's nothing wrong taking a sabbatical. You know, and those are some of the things I learned from football. I learned from the Mourinhos, the Pep Guardiolas, the Jurgen Klopps, you know, the best coaches in the world. They do that. You know, I know that I've learned a lot. I know Nono doesn't quite like that, but I've learned a lot from Pep. You know, when you move from Barcelona to taking a sabbatical, going to the States, he took a sabbatical and a year later got a job at Bayern Munich. I just never understood it before, but later on I started to understand the importance of just, you know, just moving away from environment and just completely move to another environment and recharge and come back and thrive. Because it does give you an opportunity to sort of assess yourself and see where you're at, what other tools, what other methods. There's so many things that go through your head that you can actually get better. And one of the most powerful things that I learned from him moving to Bayern Munich was he needed to delegate better. And this is a guy that has been successful at Barcelona for 4 years, you know, won Champions League and dominated. But yet he realized that the reason for his burnout, he wanted to control everything. He wanted to do everything. He moved to Bayern Munich, he delegated better. You know, he focused more on his strengths and he started to obviously give more tasks to his assistant coaches, etc. You know, and that started to empower his team and it became a powerful coaching team. So, and when he also moved to Man City, he was just someone that kept on learning and he's not shy to share his information. You know, he was so detailed in his book that he wrote about his experience at Bayern Munich. It was so detailed. It was even scary. Even his wife said, you know, how can you give so much information? The reality is that if you own your philosophy, you own your own ideas, no matter, you know, you can share them with somebody else. That person will never be able to execute it exactly how you see it, how you feel it, how you, And that's something that we in South African cricket, we should never be scared to share. At the end of the day, if somebody wants to steal your idea, let them steal it. But will they be able to do it as well as you would do it? You know, that's always going to be the question. So, it proves that as a coach, if you're not scared to share that type of information, you know, you're not scared to challenge yourself. Because yes, let's say they get it right, All it does, it just challenges you as a coach to become a better coach, to become a better team. So for me, holding back information or whatever, it doesn't make sense.
Coach, I think just in closing from my side, I mean, I want to ask you, I mean, when you didn't get the job, the official South African job, a lot was mentioned by your lack of experience as an international player. And what I love about this chat that we've had today, we've spoken about the amount of reading that you do, learning about the game, learning from other sports, and the knowledge that you have acquired to your coaching. And I want to ask you in terms of your development going forward, because I know that one day you'll probably coach this country. How can you put yourself in a better position in terms of, I mean, when I look at Australia, I look at England in terms of the head coach sometimes would not be available for certain T20s and the assistant coach would take over and be in charge so that you could be in charge and grow yourself in that period. Is it something maybe along the line that you'll be seeking going forward within the Proteas, looking for those experiences to be in charge and, you know, impart your philosophies in the team?
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, it's something we've spoken about from a get-go, that whenever there's opportunities for me to lead a T20 team or, you know, a test team or ODI, whatever Mark feels that, you know, he just needs a bit of a break for the next month or two, you know, I'm always prepared to take over the team and lead it. And, you know, we speak about it all the time. Before COVID, you know, we've spoken about the West Indies tour that that was going to take place last year, June, July. How I was going to sort of leave the test environment and go prepare the T20 team across in Florida. I think we had a couple of games in Florida. So there is a plan in place to still sort of offer, you know, give me that opportunity to lead, not just obviously be second in charge. But I mean, the way also Mark works, you know, he does offer the opportunity to for me to lead basically, and which I've enjoyed, but like you say, there's we talk all the time in terms of, you know, we've looked at the FTP now, and we looked at, okay, where are going to be the opportunities, because, you know, Graham and Mark, they also understand that, you know, because I made it clear from a get-go that I also want to grow, and if there's opportunities for me to grow in a T20 space or in an ODI space, and he needs to take a bit of a break, you know, I want to do that. And we had a perfect plan now before the Australian series was cancelled. I was going to basically take the T20 team. Mark was going to come back and obviously focus on the test team. Unfortunately, with the Australian cancelling, it just messed up the plans. But it's just one of those things. I know there's going to be plenty of opportunities. Just looking ahead, I mean, the next season, we're going to spend so much time on the road. And so we still strategize in terms of how we can make sure we balance it out. It's easy to manage the players, but we mustn't forget that we also need to manage ourselves. So, you know, it could be, who knows, maybe there could be a situation where I need to take a break, or some of the coaching staff need to take a break. We bring in new blood and, you know, fresh energies into the change room, because we do that with players. Myself and Mark, we alternate different series, and you know, which will be brilliant. But there's no doubt that it is part of the plan going forward, that I will have those opportunities to lead the South African team in a different format.
Enoch, I speak for the three of us here and for everyone listening, that I'm really, really grateful that you've got the second kind of ego that kept you in the game when leaving the cause would have been so much easier and more expected of you. I mean, you talk about harming the system. I think you being within the system is clearly doing the exact opposite. I think it's to the great benefit of South African cricket that you have stayed the course. And Thank you so much for sharing your time and your story with Short Fun Legs. Thanks for everything you've done for Nons, because he's now a fantastic podcast co-host. we look forward to supporting the side again and to chatting again soon. So on behalf of Short Fun Legs, Enoch, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, no, cool. It's a pleasure, and thank you very much, gents. I really enjoyed the last hour and a half. It's been awesome. And like you said, you know, we can go on for days actually, you know, unpacking so much and sharing so much. And for me, it's the most healthiest thing to do, share information and let's all learn from each other. And thanks for the opportunity once again.
Thank you so much, guys, for listening to our two-part episode with the wonderful and incomparable Enoch Nkwe. Fantastic insights, an incredibly humble human being, a man who's got the right kind of ego and is driving him to great things with the Proteas. And I know I speak on behalf of the Short Fine Legs team and a few fans who would have listened to that I'm glad that he decided to stay within the system, because he is someone that I want inside enacting change and driving this team forward into a new era. Enoch Nkwe, you have the Short Fine Legs blessing. Thank you so much for listening to us. We'll catch you next time.
Shout for LBW. Oh, he's got him. That's well run. Or is it? Oh, a fielder. That's out. That's got to be out. That's beautifully done.
What a great hit. That's unbelievable. That is sensational. Now, this will be interesting.
Short Fine Legs.